You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday, part one. We have something that slightly resembles maybe a studio. Not really. This is not a studio. Not at the moment. But this is what we are going to look like for the next couple months or so. Locked On Wolverine. If you're watching, if you're listening, it shouldn't be any different. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team. We should be back to every day now that we've kind of settled into our temporary move. We'll be here for a couple months and then we'll do it all over again. Anyway, I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And yeah, we've got some things to talk about. We are going to get into the Mozzie Smith of it all because we haven't really been able to touch on that. We're going to get into Cade McNamara. I didn't listen to his comments. I've just gotten kind of the gist. But just like the thoughts that I have kind of based off of what I've heard coming out of that. And then we will also get into just some college football playoff, both thoughts on TCU as well as Ohio State and Georgia. So that's where we're at. That's what we're going to do. Let's start in with the Mozzie Smith situation, because certainly there's a lot of consternation about it, and we haven't touched on it because I was sick for a week, plus I'm still a little under the weather, but pretty much back to normal for the most part. Obviously, unless you're living under a rock, Mozzie Smith was pulled over. He had a handgun on his person. Dad not completed the process of getting the CPL, he was therefore arrested and charged with a felony after the season. And certainly there are some rival fans who are up in arms, acting like it's the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of the world. And I've seen some really irresponsible things out there. I'm going to go ahead and call out Justin Thind of 24/7 Sports / The Athletic. I'm not sure which one he actually works at this point. But I mean, he went out there and acted like Mozzie was about to commit a mass murder because he had all kinds of magazines. And not to call out my friend Sam Dodge, who did the original reporting for M Live about what was found on his person. He originally said a bunch of extra capacity magazine that was fully loaded, as well as a couple other magazines, and then it came out that it was inconclusive whether or not the magazines were loaded. All of that. I have some inside. I have some inside type things that I can share that no one else has, in the sense of I understand Mozzie a little bit, maybe more than this. So I'm going to go ahead and put myself out there, and I'm certainly going to alienate a certain amount of people, I'm sure. I am a gun owner myself, and I am a member at Ann Arbor Arms there in Ann Arbor, which has the range and all of that stuff, which is the point for me of being a member, is unlimited use of said range. So Mozzie Smith is someone who goes to Ann Arbor Arms relatively frequently. He was a member. I don't know if he is still currently, but he is very much someone who goes up there and trains. And we've spoken about it. He's just a Second Amendment type of guy. What I'm going to surmise that he did was that he was probably going to Ann Arbor Arms. I believe he was pulled over at like 9 a.m. the day before the Indiana game. Ann Arbor Arms opens at 9 a.m. for members, 10 a.m. for non-members, if I'm not mistaken. My guess is he was going to go up there and train, because he's done it a lot. He does it a lot. Pretty much every time I go in there, they're like, Mozzie was just in here. I don't think I've ever gone in there any day and had them not tell me Mozzie was just in here. He is typically a responsible gun owner, but what he did is irresponsible because he had not completed the process. It's like a catch, right? You want to complete the process of the catch. He did not complete the process of the CPL, the concealed pistol license. Therefore, he should not have had it on his person. That's you're going to You're going to get what you ask for if you are carrying illegally on your person before you get that license. However, he cooperated fully. He told the officer, "I have a gun on me," all of that kind of stuff, right? Michigan seemed content with that. It is a felony. He just pled down to a misdemeanor. He's going to be sentenced 2 days before the before the Fiesta Bowl. So, and I'm sure he can do that virtually. He's allowed to leave the state according to obviously he was able to go to these road games and everything. It's a big deal from a personal standpoint for him. It wasn't a violent crime. It wasn't anything that, I mean, I think that obviously it's irresponsible. I would not do that. I do not have my CPL. I would not carry on my person. I've yet to ever do that. So it's something that I would say is beyond ill-advised. You can't do what he did. And he is getting punished for it in the eyes of the law, right? Should Michigan have come out and said something? Maybe, sure, absolutely. You know, I think that they maybe could have, suspended him for a game when you get into that type of situation. And I think that whether they do or whether they don't, I think that's fine, right? This wasn't anything that hurt anyone other than himself. And again, I can attest, he almost certainly was going to Ann Arbor Arms to train. He does it pretty much any of his free time. And it's just become like this bigger thing because of Michigan State, everything that happened before with the tunnel incident. Listen, completely, that's really apples and oranges for anyone who really is trying to look at things objectively. Again, could Michigan have punished him more? They could have. I don't really care either way because, again, it's something where he is going to be punished in one way or the other through the justice system. Now, does it compare at all to someone trying to harm someone else? You know, kicking Jaden McBurrows, swinging your helmet at Jamon Green? No, it's not even close to the same. It's just moral posturing if you are a rival fan out there looking for something. Because, like, those guys are going to plead down as well. They're going to go through the same system. That's a little bit different because they had intent to hurt someone else. I can't believe I have to say that to anyone, but it is an apples and oranges situation. So anyway, that is my thoughts on it. Stupid thing to do if you're Mozzie. I think he's being punished appropriately through the justice system. If you know, I don't know about the team making an announcement or anything like that, but I think that maybe the team could have, you know, suspended him for a game or something just to say, hey, you know, not cool. But the fact that they didn't doesn't really bother me either. I'm just saying that is something that would have been out there. But to anyone who's trying to make him out to be like some violent person just due to the fact that he trains with a firearm, I mean, there are a lot of people out there that do it. And it does not make anyone violent, right? I am as much of a peace-loving person myself, yet I have firearms, right? I train because it's, I think, a smart thing to do. That's just me. I'm sure many of you have seen, I've worn my Ann Arbor Arms sweatshirt on the podcast. I've worn my Black Rifle Coffee Company hat on the podcast quite frequently. So is what it is in the sense of it's a terrible situation that he should not have put himself in. But to sit there and get on a moral high horse and act like he was out there doing something, he did something wrong, but to act like he was doing something egregious is absurd. And it's just something that rival fans are trying to use to be on their own moral superiority situation. All right, we are going to move on. For those watching, it's going to be different. Not looking this way, looking this way. All right, so listen, these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidate available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. You know, you just go to LinkedIn Jobs, super easy. Just, I don't know how to explain how easy it is. It's just easy to create a job there. After you've done so, add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. If you want to be like Michigan and finish the year strong, then you best find the right candidate, the right player to help you do exactly that. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find qualified candidates you want to talk to, and they help you do it faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Sometimes I feel like it's difficult to touch on the touchy subjects, right? Like I'm certainly, like I said, I'm a peacekeeper. I'm trying to, I don't like ruffling feathers. It's just not who I am. I'm not a hot take artist, but at the same time, I mean, I've seen kind of everything that's happened with the Mozzie and all of that. And I just think like the being impugned thing is ridiculous. And it just is, you know, it's not nearly the big deal that they're making it out to be. Nonviolent crime. There you go. All right, we're going to move on. Let's talk about Cade McNamara for a few moments here. As we all know, Cade McNamara departed the program. He transferred to Iowa. Eric Alm may or may not join him there. He's going to take an official visit there. Those two people have something in common. They kind of had some little jabs at the program on their way out. Eric Alm's, I understand a bit more, having spoken to his father about the whole situation, but I don't like anytime you trash a program, especially if you're tongue in cheek on your way out, unless you're that Mississippi State player who said that he's transferring. Since I am not tough and Mike Leach doesn't want me there anyway, I have entered myself into the transfer portal. That's fair. That's fun, right? That's not really a jab and more of a, you know, but Cade McNamara went on a podcast to discuss a whole litany of things. And from the grapevine, it turns out that he's not speaking terribly fondly of Michigan. I believe some of the topics were Michigan's NIL, him saying it isn't working very well, you know, and all of that. I believe also it's something to do with his knee, how he said that he was injured and injured at the Michigan State game and was kind of forced to play from there on in. I haven't heard anyone else corroborate that what he's saying. I've at least heard people, I've talked to people who've corroborated some of the Eric Alm stuff, which again makes that story okay. I haven't heard anyone corroborating it. And I've heard players say things like that before when they've left the program, whether they left on good terms or bad terms. I've had players absolutely embellish where their injury is. And I'm not saying that he's embellishing, but I am saying that it just seems awfully convenient, right? Like you lose your job. I mean, you're a team captain, you lose your job. We, you know, he had sour grapes immediately in the first press conference that he was in. He hadn't even lost his job yet. It was just, had sour grapes, the fact that he was even in a competition. And listen, I know that's going to happen. I've seen that happen before as well. I don't think from top to bottom that Cade McNamara has handled himself, that he has held himself to a standard of let a team captain should, whether you depart or not. Like that is an honor bestowed upon you by your teammates. And I think like by him taking shots and saying different things to kind of drag Michigan down I understand, like, when you go someplace, you want to say, this place is so great. It's so much better. You're inclined to say something like that. And he would have had great opportunities. He was a four-star prospect. Let's not act like he wasn't, like, a high-end quarterback. He would have had opportunities elsewhere, but Michigan gave him every opportunity, right? I understand his seat was always warm with J.J. McCarthy coming in. That happens. You can either... Jim Harbaugh constantly says this, be bitter or get better. Tom Brady had to do the same type of thing that he did, right? Splitting time with the hot new thing. Speaking of Tom Brady, for all of Michigan's NIL issues, you have a Brady brand endorsement. Don't come at me, you of all people, Cade McNamara, acting like you couldn't get NIL, right? Some players, some team, a lot of teams certainly have things better in that stage, but you have a Brady endorsement. You have no room to go out there and act like, oh, poor me at Michigan, couldn't do anything. I'm doing, print ads and things with Tom Brady. But speaking of, Tom Brady was in a battle with Drew Henson, right? And he didn't act bitter. He just tried to get better and better, and it just was what it was. Tom Brady's still out there saying Michigan is what shaped him into what and who and what he is. Cade McNamara, also a team captain like Tom Brady, is not acting very captainly. And I understand that he wanted to have surgery out in California. I believe it was the same place that Blake Corum has had his surgery. But once Cade McNamara was gone, it was like he didn't exist. Again, it's not very becoming of a team captain type person. And, if you've watched or listened to this program for any length of time, you know that I have very much been a Cade McNamara defender. I can't defend any of this. It's not just because he left. Listen, when Eric All goes somewhere else, I'm going to be 100% his fan. When a lot of these other guys moved on, Luigi Villain, Benjamin St. Just, Christian Turner, a lot of these guys that have moved on, unless you do something that makes it like, what are you doing? I'm going to continue to be in your corner. I cannot be in Cade McNamara's corner with all of this. And I think that most people were going to be in his corner in Ann Arbor. And I understand he probably has some hostility towards the fan base, being booed when he was out there and all of that stuff, which is absolutely fair. But, that is a percentage, and it is a small percentage, in my opinion. And meanwhile, you have J.J. McCarthy out there saying he couldn't have become who he has become because of Cade McNamara. By virtue of trashing the program on your way out, you were trashing those very people who voted you a team captain. And that is just a very bad look. Right? I understand. There are things that Michigan is not perfect. There is a lot that needs to change. There's the NIL needs to take a big step forward. A lot of these things are being worked on. But I think it's a little ungrateful to some degree. And while, yes, I think a lot of Michigan fans are also ungrateful for what Cade McNamara was able to do in his single year as a starter and how much he changed the culture, him leaving the way he has is, it kind of undoes a bit of his reputation, is basically what I'm saying here. And it's very disappointing. All right, we are going to move on. We have a little bit more to go on this episode. We are doing two episodes today because we are doing this one. We are also doing a Michigan mailbag. So look forward to that. But before we move on, betonline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. We've got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use the mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Uh, a little bit different here. I'm just like looking at the monitor here. It's going for a little bit more of a cinematic look rather than the studio look, since we don't have an actual studio. I am in the kitchenette of this sublet that I'm in. But anyway, Zuri's sighing in the background over there. All right, so college football playoff. Here, listen, I know I came on here earlier in the week and said those inside the building want Ohio State. That's accurate, right? That's what they want. Although I've seen lots of really weird Ohio State propaganda, usually from their writers and such, that are like, oh yeah, no, we, you know, Michigan, I saw this on Bucknuts from Matt Baxendale. It's just hilarious, saying Michigan's absolutely scared and the coaches feel like they got away with one and all of that. I'm sorry. No, none of that is true. None of that is true. You know, when you get throttled 2 years in a row, or you throttle someone 2 years in a row, there is no like, ooh, we got away with one. I don't understand where they're coming from there. That said, I mean, Joel Klatt said this on his podcast. He also said it after the game when I was talking to him and a Michigan coach, that he feels like Ohio State is the best chance to do something to Georgia. Maybe, maybe not, right? Because like people are pointing, oh, LSU threw for 500 yards on Georgia. Yeah, how did that work out for them? Did they get their you-know-what kicked? Or did they kick some you-know-what? Well, it's the former, not the latter. Right? It's sometimes like that you look at the yards that are given up and you say, oh, okay, they had a really good game. What's the score? Right? C.J. Stroud threw for over 300 yards against Michigan. What did that final score end up being? Right? Because getting in the end zone is the more important stat than anything else. Right? And then beyond that, field goals. And then after that, you can sit there and say, well, they were able to pass up and down the field, but they weren't able to finish, whatever. So I am not convinced that Ohio State is going to be able to do anything to Georgia, especially because Georgia is basically like Michigan. I don't think Georgia's as tough as they were a year ago, but I don't think Ohio State is going to necessarily going to be able to suddenly go and have success against a Georgia team that no one's had success against. That said, I don't think that Michigan's necessarily going to have success against Georgia. Maybe they'll have more because they've seen them. They understand maybe a little bit more nuance of what they need to do. Maybe no slow developing plays this time around. JJ McCarthy maybe is the difference maker. Maybe, right? You know, maybe that JJ McCarthy, Donovan Edwards situation is maybe that makes a big difference. Blake Corum can come back, which I doubt that he can, but maybe he does. A lot of that could change the game. But I have a hard time seeing Ohio State getting past Georgia. I really do. Whereas otherwise, I think Michigan, and I see again some Ohio State colleagues of mine that don't think Michigan's going to get past TCU. I would be very surprised if Michigan lost to TCU. No offense to TCU. I think they are very good. But when you see what Michigan did to Penn State and Ohio State, and I know people are going to say Illinois or even like, you know, three quarters of the Purdue game and all that kind of stuff. Michigan at times has played with its food, but I just don't think that there's any level of physicality there comparatively, right? I just think Michigan's on another level. I think it's going to be very similar to what it was like for Michigan to see Georgia last year. I do. I mean, okay, any of the four teams can win. I'm not saying that it's impossible for TCU to win. I'm not saying it's impossible for Ohio State to win. You know, perfect game plan, any given Saturday type stuff, things can happen. I just don't think it's very likely. So with that in mind, I fully expect, and I'm sure most of you do, to see a Michigan-Georgia rematch. Certainly Michigan would prefer the Michigan-Ohio State rematch. I think I prefer the Georgia one because I want to know, like, win or lose, I want to know where they're at, right? Because in order to get, I understand, like, you want the short-term gratification of a championship. In order to be the man, you got to beat the man type thing, you know? You want to see the, you know, to see the team be the better team, even if it's just for one game. And I think that that's important, especially for the longevity of the program and the health therein. Then again, you just want to win. Want to find a way to win. Alabama's first win under Nick Saban, that did not feel like a game in which, you know, a dynasty was starting. It kind of felt like they won by default once Colt McCoy went down. And then you see what happened from there. So I guess to some degree, you just got to find a way to win no matter who it is. But you also want to, you know, to be able to have those players understand what it takes to be able to win a championship. Like, what does it take to beat a team like Georgia, I think, is more important than beating Ohio State for a second time for the long-term health of the program. That's just my thought. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We have another one that we are going to do. We're going to do the mailbag returns after a week off, after I was dying to death. Thank you for watching and or listening this one. We will be back with you literally momentarily. Peace.